Blast? Okay, we got to
sounded
stop
great
this
to
recording.
Me.
Stupid.
Right.
Oh, no,
okay, yeah,
it
we didn't.
totally stopped on ours.
All right.
It said welcome to, and then it stopped. That's
All right,
it.
I'm
We got
gonna
nothing.
hit stop on that
Sorry.
record. Let me see, because I've got it locally on the computer here. I just have to open it.
We were like, what is wrong with you?
We had
So
some
if it
funny jokes in there too. Yeah.
I mean, it was playing the whole time for me, of
it
course.
did not. That's why we said, what is going on here?
We reset
All
the
right.
modem even.
I know.
Well,
I wrote myself a note.
and Chrissy was on, just you. It was like special Chris only Gigablast.
Which doesn't usually happen.
Hey, one thing I noticed, I popped up this show from last week or the week before or something like that, and it is recording on speaker only instead of full tiles.
Yes, I do that. I prefer speaker only.
Okay.
I know you guys hate it.
Well, I just feel like the other ones of us do stuff that's funny sometimes in the background, and that's all. But anyway, fine, no problem. As long
No,
if that is
nope.
an intentional choice, great. Let's roll with it. Just
You know
checking.
what? I completely missed the part about people do funny stuff. So, all right, we'll go. This one's going to be in gallery. All right, am I recording? I am not recording. Oh,
You
I
are,
am recording.
somebody's
Oh,
recording.
yeah. All right, I am recording. Oh, this is like the worst intro ever. Okay, so now I go to share screen.
This is a little extreme.
I go to share screen.
Should we stop this and, start a new one? Because
I'll edit it and it'll get even funnier
sure.
then.
Okay.
And then make
Okay.
sure it's share with sound. Yeah, I got our whole GM rant last week that I'm going to put in stories.
Welcome to Everyone Racers,
a show designed for the world of low-dollar racing and oddball car culture.
It doesn't matter what kind of limit champ or lucky track dog league you run.
SCCA or NASA, we won't discriminate.
As long as you drive it hard and built it yourself.
Join us each week for tech discussions, tips,
tricks, as well as news and notes from the world of amateur endurance racing.
And whether it's on the spot, Hello Sweet, or We're Lucky Enough, and
Chrissy.
And I give you just the tip.
We're sure you'll giggle a little and learn even less.
Everyone report to the paddock.
This is Chris.
This is Chrissy.
And I'm Mental.
And we are Everyone Racers. Welcome to a Skoda episode of our podcast.
Woo.
It's episode 293. Believe it or not, in 1958, the Czechoslovakian state-owned Skoda Auto produced a pair of stunning open-top two-seat cars with a high top speed for the 1100 overhead cam race. Top speed was 250 kph. Skoda actually made a series of prototype road and race cars during the 50s through 70s, but the communist Czech government wouldn't allow them to produce them as they were too modern. Can't have that. Hey, if you're not driving your Cold War behind the Iron Curtain 50s era open top long hood roadster, check out our bingo card. This thing actually looks cool. Like, I
It's
had no
quite the
idea.
car.
Yeah. If
Wow.
anyone wants to share a screen, we can throw that on there for the YouTubers, but I'll put a link to the
Google
where I
it.
found
Just
this.
Google it.
Yeah,
Just go, it's
Google
yeah.
Skoda 293. Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. No idea.
Wow.
Who
Who
knew?
knew?
Fantastic. It's time for what you're working on. I know what Chrissy's
Mental.
working on, so I gotta ask Mental. Mental, what are you working on?
I've been actually almost busy this week.
Almost.
Right, yeah. Friday, we did a kind of going away retirement for the guy that I'm replacing at work. So I'm taking over his responsibilities. It doesn't come with an extra paycheck, but it does come with a reserved parking spot. So when I get back to
Oh.
work next week, I'm going to park the Porsche in there, make sure it dumps a bunch of oil, and that way everyone knows it's mine.
That's fair.
And out of nowhere, Sun or Monday night, it actually was Monday night. I had drinks with an alien on Facebook Messenger. I got a message from Santiago,
Oh,
our buddy Daniel
fantastic.
Santiago, the
Oh.
super iRacer alien, automotive tester, rally guy extraordinaire. And
Yeah.
he was they had just come from Arizona doing some of his work. And he's like, oh, hey, I forgot you live in Vegas. And then, yeah, we ended up hanging out and great stuff. Good time with
Excellent.
him. So I showed him some of the off-strip sites that, are go-tos when we got folks here. And for those watching on YouTube, you'll notice that this is not my normal under construction background, for I am in a hotel room. I am at Naval Air Station North Island, just outside of San Diego, really actually across the bay because I'm on Coronado Island for a work trip, which, and, you know, San Diego's actually been pretty nice. The weather here is good. I got to go see the La Jolla Independent BMW here in San Diego. It's the one of the guys on the race team that I run NASA and the 25 Hours of Thunder Hill with, and he has got amazing BMWs there. It is, and then ended up having dinner with him, and then after a few drinks, just ended up staying at his place, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then running back over here to my hotel room and getting ready for a series of very, actually, they were interesting meetings, but no one listening to the show will care about what they were about. So
yeah, you think they're interesting? That's all.
Yes. So that has been my existence. Now, Chris knows what Chrissy was working on, but I have no idea.
I just want to ask how the drive down in the Miata was. You know, through the, I mean, a lot of nothing actually, at some times, but you know,
yeah, uneventful. Actually, the car is surprisingly good on a long haul. It's obviously not the Mercedes, but it's only just me. The only time I noticed it was not the Mercedes is, you know, when I tried to really get around somebody, it doesn't have that punch. but also, you know, I never had that, you know, oh, I look down and I'm accidentally doing 120 kind of a moment. You'll know that in a Miata really quick. Yes, there was a chunk up on the High Plains where the wind was knocking it around, and I was reminded it was a little car, but it was just nothing that was unmanageable. Other than that, it was a very pleasant, pleasant drive. Coming out of the mountains, you know, a lot of curvy bits, and suddenly I got a tire pressure warning because coming down from 2,000 feet in Las Vegas and a spirited drive, all of my tires were at 40 PSI.
Yeah.
So I pulled over and let a few pounds out of that.
Exciting.
And hey, you got to drive a Miata around La Jolla, which is, La Jolla is one of the prettier parts of this country, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. I've driven it across the Coronado Bridge a couple times now already. Yeah. This is actually a good place for that car.
Totally.
Great. The
traffic is very California.
Mm, yep.
Mm, yes. Awesome.
So again, Chrissy. Sorry.
No, it's no problem. It's nothing interesting, actually. So I did yard work. Chris will talk to you more about my Saturday yard work. I cleaned the porch off. We have a lovely porch that's actually right behind me that you don't see right now. That is a screen in porch that we keep all the furniture out, and it just gets disgusting over the winter and the spring. So the pot was just layer of pollen. It was disgusting. So that takes a lot of work. I did that all day Saturday. And then I saw a friend on Sunday, and I put all of the evidence of gear, race gear away. Everything is back in the closet. So we no longer live in the times after a race. Yes, Mental.
I know your affinity for power washing. Is it an old school scrub down, or did you bust out the power washer?
Nope. The power washer didn't come out. It was just. And that's okay, because I think if I power wash anything, I think we would take all of the finish off the deck. So I it's probably best we don't do that. I just needed to get the grime off. So it was good. And then I don't know why I decided to listen to my own video, welding video. And yeah, it's pretty accurate. So I was listening to it while Chris was welding, and I was like, my sound compared to what's going on out the door. Pretty accurate. Yep.
Which I think is one of the comments underneath that video is this really does sound like TIG welding.
Uh-huh. Yep. So that's why I was like, oh, I just decided, let me go listen to that video while I'm listening to the actual welding. So Chris was welding. Tell us about that.
I did some welding, but the reason Chris, she didn't do the pressure washer is because I was working on the pressure washer because it was small engine Saturday.
That's right.
So the pressure washer is actually the neighbor's. He never uses it. We use it. So I feel obligated to maintain it, which as one does, right?
Which they appreciate.
So, right, last time it's I used karma. It, the plastic pull handle broke off in my hand. So I put a new one of those on. And I also noticed the fuel line was about to fall off. So I put a new one of those on. And then our Honda mower wasn't working. It ended up having a stuck intake valve, because it had sat for 10 plus years at the Cape and something gummed it up. So I take the valve cover off. This lawnmower is actually an overhead cam lawnmower with a timing belt next to the cams in the head. It's a little plastic cam, and it actuates these rocker arms directly on the valves. And you can pull the rocker arms up, just a little pin comes off, but freed the valve back up, cleaned those up on both sides. I actually had to do a valve adjustment. It's very Honda. Got that done. Put it back together, a new carb, and runs great. Didn't run before, so which is good, because then we gave our old mower that no longer self-propelled to a friend, I have now finished the beach cart.
Yay!
It's 99.9% finished. I'm missing 4 stainless steel bolts that I have to go buy to hold the upper chair holding A-frame to the cart, but it is done. It is together. It operates electrically. The speed is correct. The direction is correct. The charger works. The USB port works. The wiring is all done and neat and zip tied. And the controller is in a waterproof box. And it's done.
Yay.
Which is really nice. And Sunday I flew the plane a bunch. Yeah,
define a bunch because you've had challenges getting some hours your last couple of days.
4.2 on the Hobbs.
Ooh.
So 12
logbook.
I mean, that's usually what you go off of is on the Hobbs. But
I
then
didn't know they were all yours.
Yeah. No. Yes. They were all mine. And 12 takeoffs and landings.
Holy crap.
How many
states? 3 different airports.
3 different states?
Well, we flew over.
You started in Maryland.
We flew over West Virginia. I flew right over Summit Point, actually. I was like, oh, hey, there's Summit Point. And then flew down into Virginia a bit, and then back up. We went to Martinsburg Airport, which is an Air National Guard base, too. So it has a 2-mile-long runway, which is hilarious in a Cessna 150. So,
I believe they fly C-17s out of there.
Yeah. Cargo 4-engine thing. Yeah. So that giant runway in a Cessna 150, it was a challenge, actually, because I'm used to smaller runways, and the runway is so big, it changes your perspective on landing. Like, you're coming in, and I was flaring too early because, well, I got to be there because look, yep, nope. So that was different, but glad to get the good, solid, meaty chunk of time in the plane.
How many touch and goes were you able to do on one chunk of the Martinsville runway?
I mean, if we had tried, we probably could have done 3 easily. Probably could have done 3 full stops and back up again, you know, in a 150.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff happens.
I just, same deal, you know, years ago when I was flying, out of Offutt, they fly a militarized 747 out of there. So the runway but I started that and I was used to a big runway. And then my instructor would love to throw things at me, you know, make me go to grass strips and things that were the size of, you know, you wouldn't even autocross on this road because it's too narrow. Yeah, and it was always, but yeah, I could get on a good windy day, I could get 3 touch and goes.
Yeah,
I think I've told that story, but yeah,
it's about right. Anyway, that's getting better.
Cool,
getting better.
All right, and yes, Jeff is still not here. I did speak with him. I got to catch up with him. He is fired up. This, if he was here, you would check the box that he's working too much because it. He's just getting ready with like the formals and then kicks off the graduation.
Yeah.
And then come end of May, he's free again. And he is actually also Boy Scout camping this weekend. So
good. Jeff, thanks for doing the news and notes what you're working on for Jeff.
Yes. Yep. So
that's
Jeff,
good.
Jeff promises he's coming back.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Okay. Okay, good. It's news and notes.
Climate change activists have disrupted a number of large events in Europe, but they may have lost the forest for the trees. Reuters and other outlets reported this past Sunday that the Formula E race in Berlin, that's electric car racing, but I just want to say that, was delayed as climate protesters climbed fences and sat in front of cars lined up on the starting grid.
What?
Yeah. It's FAA sanctioned zero emission, all electric world championship.
You're so dumb.
So the race was started after a brief delay and was won by New Zealander Nick Cassidy after starting 8th. They don't know. There's a car race. We're going to go sit in. We're going to protest. Sorry.
To sound dismissive or unsafe, but you know the worst race in the world to try a stunt like that would be?
Any NASCAR race.
Okay. The two worst races, to do that. But another one would be the Lemons race. You know, yeah, buddy, I just spent 7 hours up all night replacing this engine. This car is moving in 30 seconds. If you're in front of it or not, I don't care.
I've hit bigger things harder than you.
Yep.
Yeah, and then of course I think the other thing, somebody would just come out there like, "Look, dude, I'll give you two beers if you just move real quick. You know, we'll let you protest, but we
I might even give you like a snack. Like we've or, got, you yeah, know, you got
they'll roll
grills
that
going over there.
If they can somehow find a way to employ them, they've got an HMG theme right there. Keep the protesters around all weekend. Say they're with your team.
There you go.
I like it.
I'll make a great donation to your crew if you just say you're with car 37.
Yep. And hassle awesome. Everyone all weekend. Got it. Go.
especially car 22, because I hate that car. Yep. Oh, all right. Moving on.
All right.
A few months ago, we told you about the Corvette E-Ray, which is the electrically assisted new C8 Stingray, and it is officially the quickest Corvette ever. And it is also the first production Corvette banned by the National Council of Corvette Clubs. Now, before you go and roll your eyes and dismiss this as one of those okay boomer situations, Kyle Smith, former guest over at Hagerty, tells us their reasoning is actually based on the potential dangers regarding the battery packs. Not unfounded in the wake of all those EV bolt fires. In fact, Summit Point Motorsports Park in West Virginia, that Chris flew over, recently put a tactical pause on hybrid and electric vehicles, quote, purely based on ensuring we establish an EMS response policy and procedure based on technical knowledge provided by the electric and hybrid electric vehicle industry community. So until some responders can come up with a safe response, because everything you would fight a normal fire with doesn't work on an EV, you can actually expect this trend to continue.
And with Summit Point in particular, they are in the middle of nowhere. They have to be self-sufficient. It's not like they can count on a local metropolis.
They'd have to like air flight somebody out of there if something happened.
What happens with some of these when they catch fires, like you can't really put them out. Water doesn't really put them out. So you just kind of let it burn sometimes without catching everything else around it on fire or damaging it. And
they burn at
high.
Like, you know, obviously they burn at fire, but they burn at like metal melting temperatures,
which ruins a racing surface real quick. Mm-hmm. So, I can see why.
Push it off into the grass. Fire. Just be like, you know, that bonfire over there. Just let's go have fun over there. That sounds great.
Yep.
Drink your warm Zimas over next to the bonfire after the race. Sorry, we saw that at some point. Oh, many moons ago.
That was an old reach back. Yeah.
I know. All right. I wasn't drinking the Wormsio, just to make sure we're clear. Okay, so the F1 Sprint made its debut back in 2021 with the original format, seeing qualifying shifted to Friday and setting the grid for a new 100-mile kilometer dash on Saturday, which in turn, so this is, I probably should preface this. I really wanted to know about the F1 Sprint race and the sprint showdown or whatever. So this is the information about this that's happening this weekend. So so the new dash on Saturday, which in turn determined the starting order for the main event on Sunday. However, tweaks for this year's means F1 Sprint is effectively becoming a standalone feature of race weekends when the format is used, with the outcome bearing no impact on the grid for the Grand Prix itself. Friday will now include FP1 session and standard qualifying session to set the grid for Sunday's Grand Prix, while Saturday will include a continuing 100-kilometer race with an additional preceding qualifying session called the Sprint Shootout. The Shootout would be a shorter session with traditional qualifying, and it replaces the previous FP2 seen on Saturday morning of Sprint weekends. Given that the F1 Sprint is now contained within the race weekend, any incidents will not compromise starting positions for the Grand Prix. Drivers should have more incentive to push across the 100-kilometer race, which usually lasts about a half an hour. So, like I said, I was confused about what this is. So basically, it sounds like there is a Saturday race itself, Friday, FP1 quali, that goes to Sunday. And
Saturday is a separate.
Saturday is a separate
quali,
race.
Separate little quali, and then separate sprint race.
That's what I am gathering. So, because coworkers were asking me about it. I've seen all kinds of articles that I didn't open before now. And I was like, I need to understand what exactly is happening this weekend. So that's what I got directly from F1. Go look it up. If you think I'm wrong, let me know. But that's directly from F1. So I'm pretty
sure. I hope that means I get a bonus race at the end of next month when I find myself in the Principality of Monaco. That should be interesting. We're going to go off topic, but the show that inspired today's topic, I was listening to that, and they've instituted a similar thing in the World Superbike. And what they have noticed is the aggression of a sprint race is carrying over to the actual race, and they're losing a sizable, like 25% of the competitors due to accidents and wadding stuff up. I wonder if that's going to happen in F1. It's a real possibility, I reckon. That is,
I could see that the people that are going to fix said cars hope that there is not carnage on Saturday, because then they have a lot to do for the Sunday race. I do know that. In this article, they did talk about the points, and you still get points for shootout. It just doesn't affect how you, this was already long enough. So, I think it does give you give you points, but it doesn't affect the quality, like where you sit on the grid on Sunday. So
I wonder how it affects the amount of, power units and other parts that you have a limited number of.
I don't know.
Over this season.
I don't know. We'll look into it and we'll see how much carnage we have for this week. If there's only half the grid starts, they might say we probably should fix this for next time.
Yeah. Or, Max starts complaining because he got bashed into because they wanted to wad his car up.
Sure. You're right. Everybody goes at him on Saturday, so he doesn't start on Sunday. It's a possibility. And then how many people start from the grid lane? I mean, it'll be interesting, but this shootout is definitely something different, because we've seen sprint races and that was kind of just like a long practice kind of thing, but it mattered. It was like long quali. It mattered where you ended on whatever. Mm-hmm.
Not true wheel to wheel.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like this time. Okay, let's move on. I was perusing through Racing Junk this week and started getting into the weeds of what's on the site. I did that a bunch this week. So some of it's not as popular as we think it should be. So road racing is categorized under other racing, but that's okay, whatever. So it still has place, but it still has a place on the site, which is great. So as I peruse the classifieds, I found this place, the section for lemons and chump cars and parts, which I didn't realize. So as of today, they had a few chassis, a Focus and a 944 and a seat. And Mental is showing you through the couple seats. Yes, this vintage racer is definitely a champ car. Not sure how much it's posted here, but it's another outlet for you to look for your next car or part that you need. So you should check out the classified sections, which we'll be talking a little bit more about in our main topic today, racingjunk.com.
All right. Always a good place to just get lost on the internet. Love it. Should. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you notice we were logged in under our professional account, which gets us.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yes. Should we want to, we get 5 ads, 50 photos per ad. You know who's watching your items. You got a dashboard. You get to see early ads before anyone else does. You get a discount in the store. It's all kinds of cool stuff.
Woo!
All right. Chrissy, next section.
Oh, yes. Upcoming races.
There weren't any. There are none. Not this week.
All right.
Sorry.
Race results. Okay. There were a couple of races this week, but all we care really is about CMP. So winning is Buzz Viking Brewing in their 94 Lexus SC. They were 10 laps over. The second place was Lee Ho Fook Racing. B went to a Shit You Not Racing, and they ended up in fifth in a Cobalt.
Of all things.
Yeah. And six went, they were in, or, excuse me, sixth place was Class C, their winner, is It'll Be Fine in a 93 Eagle Summit Wagon.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And that car it's well driven, but it's not fast.
Quite
it's
a
an
front
Eagle
runner.
Summit Wagon, of course not.
Yeah, exactly. They're just out there just turning laps. Now, your IOE was Zip Tied Racing in a 1968 Dodge Dart Daytona thing. Organizer's choice was Faux Lorraine Racing in a 1983 Mitsubishi Starion. All right. It is a very Mitsubishi centric field down there. Judge's choice was Mustang Express in not a Mustang, but in 1985 Mercur X-Ratty. And I got screwed, as he often does, with Sputnik in a 91 Nissan.
Doesn't always win
Sentra.
Though. So
no, he's often screwed. Mm-hmm. worthless trivia, but Hillary, who normally runs on that team, is actually out here on the West Coast, and through her professional connections, met up with the team principal that I run the 25 Hours of Thunderhill with, and has refueled us at NASA's sprint races out here.
One of those 6 degrees of mental war.
I was going to say 4 degrees of just racing idiots anywhere you go.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
I was going to add Sasha into this whole mix here. You know, the 4 to 5 degrees of Sasha. Go ahead.
All right. So the eBay Motors Heroic Fix went to O-Town Racing in a 2000 Audi TT. And you don't even have to ask why it broke, because it was an Audi TT. Halloween meets gasoline. So happy to see this. This is like a lifetime achievement award, pretty much. Retro Racing,
awesome.
73 Volkswagen Super exclamation point Beetle with GD. Yo, man. Wonderful.
And did you see any of their social medias?
We did not.
I definitely showed you at least a picture.
All right. So last year, they famously, because they're racing that Beetle, they broke an oil, or no, a super racing part valve cover screw backed off, and they literally dumped 9 quarts of Mobil 1 over the entirety of the track. The track had to red flag everything. They used up all of their oil dry. And because it's the GDO man and all those guys, they did not shirk away from it. They got up on the tower. They apologized to everyone. Everyone did the shame. Everyone came by and, like, you know, slapped stickers on their car that said, "Don't be that guy." So their theme, they dressed up as oil sheiks and they walked around with Mobil 1 that they kept drinking out of.
I swear I showed you that picture.
You did, I forgot.
Okay.
It was, I'm just, you know, that's lemons. Lean into your, own your
failures.
Fantastic. Yes. Which anyone who's ever met the Yo Man, not surprised.
Nope. Yep. It's great.
All right.
And I wasn't sure if you knew this. We were talking about Unicorn Cream with that, cause I laughed about it, that they were doing pretty well. And I was like, huh, funny team name. That's Eric Phipps in the
fantastic. We built that stage in the
14th. So they
finished.
Yeah, well, and that's where they finished. But they were higher than that when I looked. So I was pretty happy with that term. Looked confused. Had a rough day. So they ended up in 34th.
Eric, one of our buddies from back in the Babe days.
Yeah. He was there
and
with one of our first, or the first, no, not first, second Civic race we had at Summit Point. Remember that?
Right.
Yes.
A long time ago.
He was there with the Warp. Berg. He didn't race.
He was.
Then.
He didn't drive it then, but he was there with us.
Yep. Yes, totally. Anyway. Okay. We're trying to listen to our feedback.
Hey, from our last episode on YouTube, Al Jones piped in. So glad I had a chance to meet you at Pit Race. Thanks for the beers and the dong toss. I know you had a mechanical on Sunday, but it was exciting to see that we managed to finish ahead of both 3PM and Garage Heroes in the final standings. This means only one thing. Listen for my new podcast soon. Love you guys. Hope to see you at the Vintage Grand Prix. Great to meet you, Al. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Him and his whole team came over. We chatted for a long time. Yep. Yeah, you're awesome, Al. It was so great to meet you.
Listen to the Al Jones How to Beat 3PM podcast.
Sure. Just have a better car that doesn't need axles. How about that?
Yep.
We'll see how that goes. And if you, that must mean you care about racing more than we do. And Yuri was late to the party. He forgot he was late with his Pilmini. Sure. Took too long to boil the water, but was right on time because he got the second round, and all the people that missed the first round ate his lovely, I think they were like dumpling type things, but there. And so thank you for bringing them, Yuri. Happy to have them.
Awesome. I was bummed I missed that one, especially since the weather was nice.
It was beautiful. You never know, though.
Every time I'm there, it's freezing cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year it snowed. This year it was 78 degrees.
Yeah, pretty perfect, actually. Yeah. So can't complain. Okay.
Dumplings are never late.
Sure. she doesn't make much dumplings, but they wouldn't be late if she made them.
Right. You know who can boil water on time?
That's good too. Yeah. Hi, Mom.
All right. So,
all right.
Topic time.
Okay. Thank you.
Soon someone will be knocking on my door wondering why am I making so much noise. That's always too darn bad. Listeners, as I mentioned yesterday, I drove from Las Vegas to San Diego. Funny story. Half of the team that left Las Vegas elected to fly. Several of us looked at, okay, waiting in the airport, flying the airport, landing in San Diego, getting a rental car, and we elected to drive. And all of the people at the airport, their flights were delayed. One of them was delayed so bad, I could have driven here, turned around, went back, picked them up, and brought them back here, and still
got no.
So I was in my car for a long time, which extends my opportunity to get caught up on podcast. And they're not sponsoring us, but one of them is the Donut Racing Show with Nolan from Donut Media, Elizabeth Blackenstock, and the other writer who has the black cat she obsesses over anyway on her Instagram. They both wrote the Rich Energy book. I'm going to think of it halfway through this. Anyway, they were talking about tax evasion in Formula One. Several of the people, Gene Haas, before he ever got into Formula One, actually served a little time for tax evasion. The Jackie Ickx talked about how he had to give up 93 cents of every pound he made, Jackie Stewart. So he moved to Monaco. And so it was a whole big thing about, you know, taxes and how they're trying to keep their money. And it got me thinking, you know, racers just make poor decisions and it's tax season. And what are we going to do with our tax refunds? Because there's a lot of dumb things you can do. There's a lot of smart things you can do. And I threw this to my co-host and they went, yes.
Heck yeah.
So you can see where this is going. We're going to talk about good things, dumb things, and, you know, respectable things, ideas that you can do with your tax refund. And already, if you're yelling something at your radio or your computer, write it down, send it to us on our social medias. Tell us what dumb thing you want to do or will do with your tax refund. But we'll throw the legal disclaimer of we are not financial experts, as indicated by the fact that we race cars and host a podcast. Take our advice about the same way you take our safety advice with a large grain of salt.
Not safety advice. I give great safety advice. What are you talking
about?
You do.
Absolutely. You
do. Okay.
You know, when Jeff's on here saying, step one, take guard off of spinny tool.
I mean, sure.
Yeah. What's funnier is I don't think anyone on the screen is getting a tax refund this year. We all had to pay.
Right.
So
I did not know you guys had to pay.
Oh, I think I thought I wrote that and I did write that in the top. But
I don't normally get a tax return. I don't like giving the government an interest-free loan. So I try to structure it. If we owe, it's less than $1,000, we're trying to tweak it, but with a retirement and some other changes in the military, I got totally screwed. And even with taxes taking out of my paycheck on a regular basis, we just had to write a check for about 7% of my total income last year to get us caught up on taxes. That was like passing a kidney stone. And it was, it's a one-off thing because of the way the money played out this year.
So this is even worse. So you're thinking like, I could buy these things, but instead I had to sell all these things because I couldn't, the things I don't even own, to try to pay the government. Anyway, this is not everyone tax evasion.
it is definitely, in my case, it is most certainly not tax evasion. Good Lord. No. I would have bought a much nicer Porsche with what I wrote this check for.
That's
on this one. But let's talk about some smart choices, you know, planning ahead, spares. And you'll notice, and this is, it's a kind of a bit of predatory marketing, but a lot of your auto parts stores and your entry-level tool supply stores, not just Harbor Freight, but your Northern Tools, stuff like that, they deliberately have sales and some pretty good coupons this time of year. So if you're not on their email list, go to their website, because they always have like the printable or scannable coupon. And I do like, if I've got money like this, I like to stock up on some of my consumables, your plastic nitrile gloves, any sort of death wheel, spinny disc, Sawzall blades, you know, hand cleaner, kitty litter, first aid kits, bandages, everything you, well, I need in my garage, but this is a good time to go and get that stuff for in mass for probably a decent price.
Sounds good. I was thinking, I got a few lines of thought on this one. These are the smart choices, we're going to say. That's our category, smart choices. I like mentally, that was a smart choice for you. I was thinking upgrades to make your racing life better, like a new seat. If your race seat is a janky one, if it's a Kirky, unless it's like one of those really good Kirkies, but you know, that's unlikely. If you've got just an old metal frame one, get a nice new seat. It makes it so much more pleasant being in the car for a couple hours. You don't have numb butt. You don't have like, you're not flopping around in the seat. You're not shoving your arms next to you in the Kirky because that's how much room there is to fit in it, right? No, get a new seat. Or
everyone loves to buy Kirkies for their first Lemons car because they're like, oh man, it's cheap and it's lightweight and we're going to dominate. Yeah. And then you're like, oh
no,
this sucks.
Or how about a better cool shirt setup? You might have a janky cooler, a janky shirt, or both, or none. Cool shirt setup is a great way to spend the money. And then you'll get to experience the very special feeling the first time it comes on every time you get in the car. It is it is lovely. Those of you who've had it know exactly what I'm talking about. It's amazing. Yes. Or last, how about a helmet that really fits you? Most people have a helmet that, well, it's got a hot spot here where the wiring's falling out of it or this. And get a helmet that really fits. Like, but now that I say that, I mean, go try it on. Not just one. Go to a store or an event that has a gear place and try on like four, six, a bunch. And it, once you do that back to back, it is amazing the difference. Find one that fits. Make your life better.
Yeah. As Jeff loves to say, he has a Simpson shaped head. And I did that, and I spent some time at Discovery Parts in Georgia and actually wore them around for a little bit, which they encourage because they wanted to see if you have any hot spots. And if you're anywhere in the Midwest, one of the big distributors is down there. There's a lot of good, Winding Road, I think it's kind of Texas. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. OG in Virginia, Summit
in Ohio, et cetera.
Yep. Just went bad. I think it's back.
I'm the last of like everybody that has my old school helmet, which has hot spots. Mic is falling out. Ear cups don't fit. Have to wear headphones or I go deaf in the car. And all y'all are like, oh, what? I can't hear you. My head helmet's too great.
Yeah. Everyone else has Stilos. And we're like, what?
Everybody does. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'm the kid with the, I'm still wearing the, I'm not wearing the comforter.
I mean, it's a carbon fiber Zamp. It's pretty good still, but.
It is. But all of these things you're talking about, I can't wait till mine is up so I can go buy myself a new one.
I love my Row so much.
But you've got to try them on. That's I cannot stress that enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Another thing that I just have tried now, and Metzl, I know you're a fan, that I suggest people splurge on. This is a small dollar thing, tinted helmet visor. It lets you actually keep your visor down, which is safer. Keep stuff out of your eyes. Keep fires out there. Great, no problem. Your glasses don't fog up. You don't have to wear those. It's easier. It's faster. I'm fully on board with this plan. I suggest you get one.
Great. Next. I even like mine at night because I'll have it up, and if you've got overhead lights or something, it really actually reduces the dazzle you'll get from parts of the racetrack with headlights pointed at you and stuff.
Cool.
Sounds great.
Next smart choice. You probably need new tires on your tow pig and or trailer. And these are the, and I say these ones specifically because the worst thing you can get is a breakdown on your truck and trailer on your way to or from a race, especially if home.
Oh, it's awful. The worst.
And most people ignore their trailer tires. They're probably old. They're probably janky. They're probably cupped. They're probably out of date. They're probably going to fail. So just replace them ahead of time. That'd be great.
everyone on the screen that has had a trailer failure while towing, and it never happens in the middle of the day. It always happens at, oh God, awful, you know, time of night in the middle of nowhere. Everyone on the podcast has had that rate yet. Raise your hand. Yeah. You two guys are raising your hand. You broke down like in the middle of Connecticut or something. Like at 10 o'clock at night.
No, it wasn't us.
Didn't. Oh, never mind.
We don't break down.
Jeff. All right, never mind. Okay.
It was Jeff.
If Jeff were here, he definitely would raise his hand. No.
Oh, absolutely.
No, oh, no. Jeff not.
Our trailer has some fairly new tires on it and two spares. And I usually go through the brakes and bearings every year and, you know, those things. That's why.
Nope.
Yeah, and last
sorry
one,
that you just pointed yourself out on that one. Yeah, so there's that. You thought it was gonna.
I bought a trailer from Jeff.
You have a moon trailer
that he traded it to a crackhead in the middle of the night for a stolen one. So
Jeff and actually, enough, the tires on that one are pretty good. I,
you can't get anything off of it.
But the tires are probably fresh stolen before he, you know.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I like your moon trailer. Right. I like to laugh at your moon trailer.
Yep. I do too.
That's about all we can do with the moon trailer, laugh at it.
Oh, okay. This is such a boring is a boring one.
It's the smart
You're
choice.
So boring.
The smart choice is buy a Vanguard S&P 500 index fund.
You're so boring.
Boo.
This is supposed to be a fun show.
Yes, boo. This was the smart choice section.
Well, I'm going to talk about real smart
choice
things.
Section and then reasonable.
Which I can't wait.
Right.
I can't wait smart for choice. Stupid choice because I have so many good ones.
My 401k actually goes into the an S&P. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Still a. So. Dumb choice. It's
yay,
a dumb
the
choice.
Excitement of Vanguard Mutual Funds.
You're such an adult. Why do you have to be an adult today?
Because he's got a race car to pay for. It keeps cancels.
Bye. Yeah, I mean, that's you're not wrong. Okay. My suggestions aren't even actual smart ones. I was looking at plasma cutters because I thought that'd be a great idea. Oh, so
agreed.
And so I actually there was a Facebook post recently, I think it was probably in the Lemons group, that we're talking about somebody wanted a plasma cutter and they said looking for a relatively cheap one, and a bunch of people said there's fairly inexpensive ones on Amazon and they're like, these are great, I use them all the time. So there's two different ones, they're a couple $100. So I know we were talking about in the thousands, but a plasma cutter just seems like a good idea. I know the Garage Heroes have one and they use it fairly often. So I'm not advocating for this one. I don't own it. I don't own a plasma cutter, but I think it'd be a fun idea.
I have a plasma cutter. I owned one. I bought it used for a friend who upgraded. And right now it is at Pantless Mats for for a project. If you live anywhere there's rust, you want a plasma cutter.
Why?
Because it makes it really easy to cut out rust.
Oh, I wasn't cutting out the rust.
You don't have to use a Sawzall or anything. It doesn't get in your eyes. It's great. You can cut it in these nice square lines for a patch panel or whatever it is you're doing.
Cutting metal with fire. And
just seems like a great idea.
It lets you cut like curves and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm like not the biggest fan of cutoff wheels. I'm not good at it. I kind of occasionally shy away from it. It kind of busts back at you. And I just think a plasma cutter would be fun because I just cut things with fire. Sounds good.
Plasma cutter has never exploded into my neck.
Yeah. Right. Mm. Yeah. Sold. Done. I know I'm getting you. Oh, you already had one. Anyway. The other idea I had was I really like our race toolbox. So we bought it and it's a nice one with the wood on top. And it seems like one of those things like a get organized in a race trailer, even if you don't have the setup that we do. I think it was a couple $100 and I think that one was on clearance, I think. But it really does hold. We've figured out everything that needs to go in it. It holds enough stuff. You roll it out anywhere you go, you have a table. So or at least a workspace or a junk space, space that collects junk. Yes.
Just to clarify, it's a 48-inch wide rolling toolbox with five drawers in it. So when we get to the track, we wheel it out of the trailer, put it in our pits. Bam, there's all our tools right there. And then when you're done, we'll wheel it back in the trailer. No more loading toolboxes and crates of tools and this and that.
when we used to
5 gallon buckets full of sockets, you got to dump on the ground when you get there.
Yeah. I mean, that's how some people roll. Yeah. Like we used to put the very heavy Craftsman in the back seat of the truck. So yeah, this
is an open trailer.
This is such an upgrade. I guess that's assuming that you have a enclosed trailer, but
even with
really
an
nice.
Open trailer, you can just wheel it up on the front and strap it down and there you go.
It's actually a really good time of year too, because they're doing like their model year closeouts and you can find some good deals. Of Jeff loves the Icon line. I do like some of those as well, but like the Huskies at Lowe, and I forget what the Cobalt is Lowe's, Husky is Home Depot. And if you are not, they are in no way sponsoring us, but if you follow the drive, they have a subheading of In the Garage, and you can sign up for email alerts of everything of a particular subject that they find that goes on sale. And they do it across the board to Home Depot, to Lowe's, to everything, to Amazon. And they will say, these are the 10 best power tool packages that you can find. I recently just bought a Milwaukee kit based on something that they had on there, and it was just a heck of a deal. And they'll put like they have hot links to it. And I think they do have an affiliate deal with Amazon, but they're showing good deals. So who cares if the drive makes a few bones selling something good like that, but they'll also go to Home Depot. And
Chris is signing up right now. You can see him typing. Okay, those are the fairly smart things that I had. I have more. I have really stupid things though. Can we move on to stupid things?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Chrissy is very excited about these things.
I went to the depths of the please. I went to the depths of the internet. I decided. So we didn't really say this, but
first one posting deleted. It's gone.
Oh, that means it was such a good deal. It sold.
It was a really good deal. It was a CRX. Oh, and it was a really good deal. That's a shame. I didn't post any information in our notes because I wanted it to be a secret. So I apologize. So, we didn't say this, but I went a little large on the possible tax return that we could get. So I was thinking $3,000. That's a little bit more than most of us are getting. But I decided if I want to buy really stupid car project and other things, we're going to go higher. Do my other ones work?
They do. I got them all up now.
Okay. Let's. Oh, we're going to start with the Outlaw.
We'll start here.
Oh, we're starting with the Fiat. Okay. Racingjunk.com, because I started here. A 68 Fiat 124. It is $2,400. It needs probably some paint it's half Bondo. It is in Massachusetts, so we could get it. It is.
Hold on that. That is a surprisingly rust-free engine bay.
It needs
a Fiat.
It needs a visionary. Reassembly required.
It looks solid. That looked like the rockers are actually in good shape.
Comes with two sets of rims and tires.
Wow, that interior is actually complete.
Like it needs paint and trim and finishing, but like that could be a driver fairly easily. This is actually a solid deal.
It needs a visionary.
Yeah, you finish that. You get the paint job on that, and you would look great parked next to the side of the road waiting on the tow truck.
This is why I said these are really stupid. This
helps you grow your mustache quickly. And
I don't need a mustache.
Bobbity boopity. But it would be a great little, you and the significant other or the dog or the, one of the kids is big enough to not be in a child seat, rolling up to get some ice cream or something like that.
I'm going to take the Carson coffee and that kind of stuff.
Exactly. They're not notoriously reliable, but they are the depth of knowledge on everything about them is there.
I've heard that when they're working, they're basically better than MGBs. They have, like real roll up windows and the top actually goes up and they have a little more power. And so.
Cool. To that end, apparently they're better than a 914 as well. It is very Italian.
Yeah.
Okay. My next idea is a 1990 Mercedes-Benz 560 SEL. And it is $2,600 and it looks really pretty fresh. There's only one picture.
One owner, purchased new by his dad, St. Petersburg, Florida. Like, how do I go drive this home instead of the Honda CR-V I'm driving home this weekend?
Seriously, it has only got 119,000. This is so cherry. My gosh, that is so great.
I mean, this was
560. That's the big V8, man. That's that was the King Hoss.
Yeah, this was you are an executive if you bought this in 1990.
You're a bala.
And I love that it spent its life in Florida and survived that era. So there is no horrible body kit on this. There,
just the chrome wheel lips, but that's it.
Yeah, it's not rolling on a set of Rams. It is all a.
But you can do it if you wanted to.
Chrome wheel lips may not be stock, but the rest of that is just so cherry.
I'm just surprised. My guess is it's no longer there because the ad was posted January 6th.
I probably, but you know, it was still on racingjunk.com, which we love. So if you are in Florida, Florida man is the one I meant to say. Don't yell at me, Donnie.
We're getting feedback on that one.
Not even drinking tonight. Anyway, okay. So it's probably not there. You didn't take the ad off, but I don't care. It's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Okay, my next that would be really stupid idea.
A great rally car. You wouldn't win a Lemons Rally in that one, but you would also be immensely comfortable.
Put little flags on the front fenders.
Yeah.
Diplomat flags.
Yes.
Okay. My next stupid idea is a four-wheeler in my town. So I found this because I just went to like stupid things, ATVs. Under $3,000, and I found a four-wheeler in my town. So I probably might die, but it would be fun for a little while. So there's my
It's a 110. It's smaller than Scooty. You'll be fine.
It's a kid's one. That's even better.
It's pink and gray.
I might.
Those are like lawnmower back wheels. Yep.
I legit might go get it now.
Yep.
Yes, you absolutely.
I have two nephews that live up the street that totally need this.
Yes, they will die immediately.
They do totally. No, it's a CVT. They don't weigh enough to tip it over.
Darn it. I thought it was a real person one. Crap. Now I just want to buy a
real people. You've seen them at races. I've seen people.
Oh, yeah.
Full size.
Oh, big people. Where big people. Okay. Normal size people. Okay. I'm writing them an email now to see if they.
They're great little pit vehicles.
Okay, they were my stupid ideas. Mental, what kind of stupid ideas do you have?
Motorcycle. Duh. You and here's the thing. That's an investment that gives back to you because you save money on your commute to work. I'm in San Diego and it's California. Lane splitting is legal. And if you're coming across a Coronado Bridge anytime after 5 a.m. before 10 a.m., you need to be in a motorcycle or you're doing a whole lot of sitting in traffic. So I did find, obviously, I'm in a world of, lots of motorcycles and rust-free things. So I did find a couple of, the infamous Facebook Marketplace, which is where I get most of my terrible ideas. Here is a lovely Korean knockoff TU250X. It's called a Suzuki, but I think, it's one of the knockoffs, but it's a
not just a universal Japanese motorcycle.
Yeah, it's a universal, cruiser type thing. So your top speed is going to be about 80 miles an hour, but on the street, that thing would absolutely just tear. Another option here, you can't go wrong with a ninja. This is one of the it's the new model of the 250. I think this one actually might be the 300 Ninja. Or Ninjet, as the mockery used to say.
We loved our 250. That thing was
great. We totally did. It was plenty.
My first motorcycle was a 250 Ninja, and I bought it
as
at
was ours.
13.4% interest because I was 18 years old.
No.
I didn't know any better. I rode that thing everywhere. It was fantastic. Now, this one needs some plastics, but luckily there are many, many places that make new plastics for this one, and it is a bulletproof motor. If you literally just keep the oil changed, it'll work forever. And
that one needed a paint job, which means hand paint, make it look cool, sparkles or something, and just rattle can. Springtime for Hitler's rattle can.
I would say you could also sticker bomb it. you know, just go on eBay and buy like one of those, you know, $20 sticker packs. But now this one I got just for Chris. This is a 1964 Honda Dream. So it is actually it's an actual frame. So it's not one of the stamped steel motorcycles. So it actually has a frame on there. And you want to talk about a painfully simple machine, Honda Dreams. And yeah, you could probably go through this thing and have it running in a weekend. It does say ran when it was parked, or it ran when it sat, which, yeah. And it says open to trades. Now it's been here a while because I spent a lot of time on there, and it says 7 weeks ago, that's for this ad. So this person is probably willing to make a deal, and you would have the coolest motorcycle in the parking lot. Even if it is the slowest, you would totally get like crushed by, you know, Honda Groms and the little Chinese knockoffs on that one. But that is or you can even go cheaper, and at least on the Facebook marketplace here, or any place where 50cc scooters do not require insurance, registration, or license, you can routinely find the Chinese knockoff ones for $250 to $900, depending on the condition of them. And that is a great pit vehicle.
Yep. And those are the DUI cycles. When someone loses their license in those states, they just ride one of those.
Or they're sick of the bus in Nevada. They're like, I am so tired of riding the bus. I'm buying one of these things.
Excellent. All right. I've got a couple. These are definitely stupid.
Oh, yes.
We've got a Segway Ninebot Go-Kart Pro. So electric go-kart, 23-mile-an-hour top speed, 1G acceleration, 15-mile range.
Why don't I have one of these?
Folds up.
Things are alarmingly quick.
What?
Yes. So, I mean, you know, the ads are obviously make it look more fun than it is, but I mean, this looks pretty cool, right?
How much is
it? It's a go-kart. It's $1,700 on sale right now.
$1,700.
Right? Oh, wow. That is normally they're over $2,000. That's a good price.
It has a drift mode. Yep.
So where I have to take it to a karting place?
I mean, you can use it on the street. It's just illegal. You know,
probably got busted by the police, but on Fremont Street, there was a guy that would have one of those, and he would run it up and down, not on the experience where
sidewalk.
People, no, yeah. On the street, straight up on the road where the cars were, he would go whipping down because it's got headlights. And
well, this
he
one
would
does
just
not.
Go,
it's a different one, okay. But yeah, still.
He would go tearing down Fremont Street in one of these.
Oh, because I don't want to get it.
Ooh, Bumblebee.
Taken away from me at the, like, what happens if I get pulled over?
Well, you just don't ride it on the street. It's not legal. You ride it around the track or, you know, at the track. It's a pit vehicle, or if, you know, had a parking lot, say around a, you know, chemical plant. Yeah.
Oh,
for
I have
example.
One of those.
Right. You know,
oh, and I also have a stone cutters parking lot down there.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Mm.
I was thinking more for pit vehicle transportation.
Yes.
So yeah,
okay.
Definitely dumb.
Sign
definitely
me up.
Get yelled at. Yes.
Now the next thing is way dumber and way more expensive.
Oh.
This is an electric powered foiling surfboard.
I've seen these things.
So it's like a wakeboard, but it has a hydrofoil in it. That hydrofoil has an electric motor on it. So you stand on this board that foils above the water while the electric motor underneath it powers you along. And yeah, and you ride that
There's
around.
Two people
in the water.
On it? That's that dangerous.
One. Yep. Two people. Totally dangerous.
For this 1 second. And then they fall right off.
Yep. If you've ever seen an air chair, this is like a motorized one of those that you stand up on. And if you've never seen one of these, just go to a YouTube fail compilation. And I guarantee you there are people face planting left and right with this thing.
I like it says ride with confidence. You're like, oh, yeah. Okay. When you're good at it.
Yeah. I've seen people. Right. I've seen people at the Cape use these.
You fail. And
the foiling is becoming a thing in a lot of stuff. I mean, there's surf foiling and the people seeing kiteboarding foils now too. Like it's, you know, obviously, and then America's Cup and all that stuff is all foiling now. They even have little foiling sailboats. So foiling's cool, and this thing just seems like a really stupid way to spend $9,000.
Dude, this is not tax return money.
Depends on your tax return.
Well, if you did it wrong if you have $9,000 for your tax return.
Like I said, this is a very stupid way to spend $9,000.
Well, yeah, if you gave the government a $9,000 loan, get yourself a foil. You have earned
it. Stupid anyway. You are not good at taxes.
This is the stupid choice section, remember.
I know. I stay within the limit.
Epically, I love it. I disagree. I think Chrissy's wrong. Chris, I love your choice. It was the right way to go. We're going to have links to all of this, of course, in the show notes.
Check
all this out.
We're not advertising for all of these things.
When your boss walks in, click on the ad that I post about some, horrible, used up scooter. And then when, someone else walks in that you're trying to impress, click on the ad for the surf foil. That's how you work that one. When they're looking over your shoulder. So between good and hella stupid, we have, it's not a bad idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reasonable choices.
That's actually a pretty good idea. Right. Okay.
I like your ideas. Go ahead.
You like my ideas?
No. I mean, I can't get them. At least my cars, I could be like, I'm just going to buy this $2,000 car. And you're like, you're stupid, but it's only $2,000. And then you're just like, oh, I'm just going to, yours are much more committal.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's hear your reasonable choices.
Well, I got a bunch of choices here. First one, the hot tub that your wife wants. That's a great reasonable choice of a way to spend that money. Yep. Everyone's happy. And plus, after racing or working on the car all day, that seems like a great way to go.
Or not. Or just it's Saturday and I can. Yep. Oh, now we need to put some kind of TV out there so we can watch F1 in the hot tub. Can you make that happen?
Sure. Working on it.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's another reasonable choice. An outdoor cover for your television.
I mean, we have a plan.
Right. Amazon has them. They're great.
Yep.
Working on it. Next. Why aren't you working on it now?
Because I was building a beach cart for Chrissy's mom. Yeah,
exactly.
And then I have to fix a race car. And then I have to get the MG worked on.
Okay, fine.
NSX. And anyway, next thing is upgrades for your trailer. Whatever race trailer you have, there are ways you can upgrade it that will make your life better. Like if you have an enclosed trailer, wiring and lights, huge, wonderful. Maybe just paint it. Painting's lovely. Insulating, air conditioning, new tires, e-track everywhere. It's amazing stuff. All the e-tracks,
good stuff.
Spare tires, awning. LED lights,
awning.
Everything.
If you're out here in the West, awning, because it gives you a place to get out of the sun.
Yep. So all those are sensible choices that you will be very happy
they
with.
Are sensible choices.
Yep. And last is a Nomex suit, a good Nomex suit. To replace either your bed quilt that you're still using or your tired, smelly, dirty, out of date suit that maybe has a tear or two in it that you try to keep hiding from Ken when you do it through GearTech. Get a new
Looking
one.
At you, Jeff.
No, he has a new one. That's good.
No,
he got rid of his torn one.
His comforter was
not the torn one, but it's.
Oh, it smells bad.
Yep.
Yes.
So like I found this lovely one from Safe Racer, which has a clearance section at Safe Racer, which is always nice. Always shop the clearance when you can. I'm sharing my screen now. This is an OMP1 S1 suit. This was originally $2,000, marked down to $1,400. So still expensive, but damn if it's not lightweight, comfortable, easy. The suits you do get what your money you're paying for. This is, they say, their top level suit, lightest weight, flexible, breathable, all those things, but hey, still protects you.
And much like seats and helmets, as we all started into this, we went, okay, what is cheap? And then as you get more and more involved in there, you begin to divert funds into your comfort. And I did the original $99, on sale suit that you have to wear the underwear with. That's now a spare fueling suit that I just take to the track in case somebody needs to refuel and your good suit. And I actually bought an OMP from Pantless Matt because he got it and it was just a little too tight on his massive shoulder. So my bony body fit into it until I quit running. And now it's a little snug in the center, but the weight of it is immensely better than the quilt that I had before. I had a super thick one that I'll put on when it's cold, but I'm not going to race.
Right.
In it.
It's amazing that it's only that it's as many layers as it needs to be, especially, you wouldn't need to, it's not a one layer. Like it feels like a one layer. Like it just is that thin.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And it's the built-in stretch panels is what I really liked about it over my my old quilt suit. You can sit and move and bend around in there without having to, adjust intimate parts of you. So yeah, that's a good one. Okay,
that's sensible.
Chrissy, I almost feel like this is a smart choice.
Sure, it's reasonable. A year of house cleaning. So I don't have to clean the house.
Hey, you get someone to come in once a month, spick and span it. Seems like a reasonable idea.
Absolutely.
I will have more time to be able to do things.
Yeah, find somebody local. You're helping out the local economy. That's valid.
Oh, see, that's an even better swing. So I can, not only do I just need somebody to clean my house, but I can
remember
say,
like 10 years ago, I offered this to you and you said no and you were offended.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to remind you of that. Yep.
I was. And then I also.
Wow. Really? You're digging up a 10-year-old statement, Chris. Uh-huh. You must have the most comfortable couch ever.
It is. It is actually the most comfortable couch ever.
Also, the king size Tempur-Pedic leaves plenty of room.
It is. This is a story we've been talking about for 10 years plus. You're not wrong. I did take offense. And then also you are occasionally not quick. You will point out my downfalls in cleaning. Therefore, there are things that I do not like to clean. This is not everyone house cleaning now.
Related to the, you buy the cheap seat because it does the job. And then you buy the cheap.
Is that like the cheap wife?
And then you're like, you know what? No, I want to be comfortable. I'm going to clean my own house because it gets the job done. It's affordable. But now, no, I've worked hard and I've gotten promoted. And I want to be comfortable.
That's not how the story went.
To be comfortable. And now I am changing my mind on my initial, I don't want someone to clean the house.
It's yes.
And evolving.
I thought you were saying this is why you always have to have a practice wife.
Yes, so. That's what I thought you were getting at.
Do not recommend the practice wife.
Okay. Wow. This is a story that's been going on for a long time. So it sounds like a lovely idea because there's things that I don't clean and maybe we should, or somebody else will for me. The other idea was like, let's just go on vacation. So, okay. Just cause. Let's go, back to Cancun.
Might I recommend San Diego? It is a beautiful city. It really is. This is it's everything LA tried to be.
But the weather even more perfect.
It really, yeah. All my jokes about, terrible California drivers. I mean, there's traffic here because it's a dense area, but everyone's kind of nice. They're polite. Not a lot of idiots down here.
You know what? Everybody's nicer than the people in Philadelphia. So it's got to be fine.
I'm driving Friday all the way up to San Francisco from here. And that is just literally the longest way through, half of California. And I'm not looking forward to it. But San Diego is a wonderful place if you guys are looking to expand your horizons with travel.
I'm just suggesting to go on a random trip that I haven't planned just because I have this money that I don't actually have. So anyway,
with the check you wrote to the government, you would love to travel more.
Sounds great.
I will also throw this in there under the, I feel like it's a reasonable choice. Invest in yourself. And to that end, because this is a racing podcast, I'm going to say go to a racing school, an actual, no kidding, the new version that they've got of the Scott Russell's
or Skip Barber,
Skip Barber, that he sold, but then they back put back together. The Bondurant School is running in Arizona. Use one of those things where they've got their car. Actually, they've got a pretty decent one at Button Willow, where you can use one of the old Long Beach Celebrity Scions.
Yeah, so Mid-Ohio has one with Hondas.
Yes. Atlanta Motorsport Park has them with Radicals, which it's not cheap, but man, it's fun. And actually, they also do a Radical School at Spring Mountain in Las Vegas, and I'm sure they've got them elsewhere. And if you've got a couple of folks, or you and your significant other are both racers, invest in that racing school. It's a good bonding experience, and everyone can use more education. Not really feeling to go on the racing school, even though it's a mod you can take with you on every single car you'll ever drive. How about welding? Look at your local community college. Check out their welding and fabrication courses. That's where I took my welding course. You don't even have to get to be a certified welder. And even if you're not going to put together a roll cage, being able to kind of, you know, wander over after, you know, maybe Bruce has had too many beers and you don't want him welding on your car, but you need something stitched up real quick, you can borrow a welder at the track. And if you know how to weld and you have a welder with you at the track, you make friends and influences people. This is one of the myriad of reasons people love Corey Dickman. Because yep. He can do all of those things.
Totally.
Yes.
And he will work for you.
Yes. Yeah. And actually now he's looking after his health. So he works for soda, I think, you know, and good, good karma and water. So it's even cheaper. And
even cheaper.
Yeah. You know, or that's a skill set that, you know, you go on the Lemons forums and you're looking for to find a seat. Oh, hey, by the way, blah, blah, blah. I've got a truck and a welder and I can be at this track. Yes, you're on our team. So these are worthwhile skills on there.
Good idea.
Yes. And if you've got any other courses or things like that that you think would be a good one, you got a dumb idea to spend your tax refund on, get a hold of us, or, you know, something we totally missed, or a Vanguard fund that Chris would be interested in hearing about. Get a hold of us on any of our social medias. Put something down.
I think we have to vote.
Ooh.
Best idea. Like most realistic. Yeah, yes. We really actually would like to do that. Or think you should do that idea. And then also dumbest idea.
Oh, okay. Idea that I would really like to do. I don't know if it's dumb or not, but I want that Mercedes.
That was pretty awesome.
It really is.
Yeah.
I think it's just fantastic.
Yeah. I like Mental's idea of a driving school. That's really a smart use of that money. I like the phrase that got it for me is it's a mod you can do that goes in any car you drive.
Yep.
I like that.
I am going with the plasma cutter because I think it is a reasonable, cheap idea. It is reasonable for the amount of money that we're not getting. Mm-hmm. The problem that you have is that where are we going to keep it? But I think it's still a good idea.
All right. Are we going with the dumbest idea?
Now we're going to dumb. Go ahead, Metzl. What's the dumbest idea here?
I want that Fiat.
I think I still want the kitty 4x4, or the four-wheeler.
I think it's the surfboard.
I mean, that is a pretty stupid idea. I want you to get the surfboard, not because I don't want to spend that much money, but I also want to take hours of fail videos, like hours of them. Just like fail, you bump, bump. Yeah, I want that so bad.
Overlay like the Benny Hill music.
Yeah,
basically.
What'd you say? Friends try the stand-up paddleboard for the first time. It's always the same.
Sure, kind of we did pretty well.
No, the first time is always a challenge for people. Oh,
sure. All right, this is good. Kidding. Thank you for this idea.
Tell us what dumb idea of ours you would like, or throw your own dumb idea in there.
Find a link on something. Yeah, under a couple $1,000.
Yes. Now. It's one of the tools you might buy with your tax refund is an air compressor. And just in time, it's time for
Just the Tip. Yep.
I think Mental's sound, I think it was clipping out because of Zoom got mad. Yeah. No, I think it's just Zoom. Compressed air. So this week at work, we have a topic about our toolbox talk is on compressed air. We use a lot of compressed air at work, and it is very, and I know, so one of the easy rules is don't spray it yourself. And I know that I, at
really
least
nice when you're dusty.
Chris really does this all the time. And that is okay. So most people do this all the time, but at work really shouldn't do that because even if you have safety glasses on, you're blowing stuff very close to your eye. You just shouldn't be breathing in the stuff that you are spraying all over the place. It's just very dangerous. So I would suggest that next time you do that, that you find a different way to do that. Get a friend to brush you off or change your shirt or do something like that. But it's very dangerous for you to be spraying and blowing stuff that like that at your face. And also, if you know that the line is very, if there's a hole in the line, it will, I'm sorry, I thought I heard there was a feedback. It's Chris is what it is. If there's a hole in the line, that really allows a lot of energy to leak out. We've found that is one of our energy hogs in our plant, actually. So if your compressed air line has a hole in it and is leaking air, you are losing a lot of efficiency. So that's one thing to look at. And also check the nozzle that you have on your end of your line, because there are different size nozzles and you may be able to direct it a different way, but making sure that you are watching where you're spraying that air, especially watching who is around. If there's other people around, what you're spraying might be affecting them as well. So just the tip, watch your compressed air.
It's a good idea.
Thanks. Always. I do like try to put like a thumb in front of it, but it is just like a good way to sometimes
just turn the pressure down a little bit.
Yes. Yes. But I won't lie to you and say that I'm not going to do it anymore, but I will certainly do it in a more safe manner.
I'm definitely still think about it. Like when you're all dusty from sanding something on a hot day, that's definitely the best way to solve that problem.
Okay. Well, Safety Squirrel says, don't do that. So whether you choose to believe me or not, just saying.
Oh no, we
how
totally
we,
believe
how
you.
We be safe. The safety cat.
Yes. That.
Okay. Good.
Yes. All right. Is there anything else for the good of the order, or have we?
I can't wait to see other people's ideas.
Please do send us your dumb ideas for tax returns or your good ideas for tax returns. We would love that.
Cool.
All right.
Cool.
Well, thanks for downloading us. We really hope you enjoyed this episode and this week's of Everyone Racers. We also hope you'll join us in the world of driving, racing, and building, because everyone can be a racer, even you. If you enjoyed this podcast, hey, subscribe. Totally free and worth what you paid for it. Go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. Even if you thought this was a terrible show, give us 5 stars and tell us why. If you have any questions or show ideas, drop us a comment on our Facebook page, Everyone Racers, or email us, everyone.racers@gmail.com. You can still text us, 484-243-0455. Mental's excited to see those pictures of your junk. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at everyone.racers, YouTube and Facebook under Everyone Racers, even Reddit/E1R. So thanks again. And until next week, keep that shiny side up. Unless you've spent all the money on stupid things so there is no shiny side, then just keep those wheels down.
Hold on. Sorry. I thought I stopped it. Now I... Okay.